Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the National Research Center on Domestic Violence Blog Talk Radio Show. I am Yvonne Ortiz, and I am the Training and Education Specialist at the NRCBV. Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to our show titled Exploring Youth Activism in Our Movement, Experiences and Lessons from Youth Leaders. As most of you know, February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. And in an effort to bring attention to this issue, at the NRCBV, we are sponsoring a series of events and opportunities for engagement throughout the month. So I will encourage you to visit our Facebook page to learn more about these exciting events. Today, we will be hearing from youth leaders about, like I mentioned, about exciting initiatives to engage youth and how their efforts are transforming our communities. We are honored to welcome two great advocates for Latino youth. We have today Lumari Orozco and Nayeli Castro Montoya. They are representing Casa Esperanza and the National Latino Network. Let's start by telling you a little bit about Lumari. She is a community psychologist and a national trainer for the National Latino Network for Healthy Families and Communities. This is a project of Casa Esperanza. Lumari's areas of expertise and interest include Latino youth development and advocacy, community leadership, community engagement, organizational development, including assessment and capacity building, and the development and implementation of culturally responsive interventions that target Latino communities. Welcome, Lumari. We also want to welcome Nayeli Castro Montoya. She is Casa Esperanza's Youth Initiative Specialist. Nayeli has been working at Casa since May of 2014. She started as a peer educator when she was a junior in high school. During her college career, she returned to Casa and did over 200 hours of volunteer work, where she continued to work with the Youth Initiatives programs with Lumari. Nayeli earned a Bachelor of Arts in Chicano Latina Studies and a Bachelor of Science in Family Social Science from the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities. Welcome, Nayeli. We are so excited to have you. Casa Esperanza, for those of you that don't know a lot about Casa, it's Minnesota's premier Latino organization dedicated to transforming the lives of those affected by domestic violence. Casa also has a strong national presence through the National Latino Network. Nayeli, can you tell me a little bit about the services that Casa offers to Latino youth?
Yes, definitely. So some of the things that we're doing now is once a week we do offer free art sessions, and that's thanks to the partnership that we have here with Free Arts Minnesota. So what they do is they send three mentors to Casa Esperanza, and it's the same mentors, and they work with different art projects with the youth that we work with. And something that's cool about that is that the youth kind of chose these projects. They told the mentors, we want to learn more about these different art forms, and they've been able to do that. And we love seeing their art projects here at Casa Esperanza. We also have our fourth annual Latino Youth Conference, which I hope to talk more about at the end. And we have workshop trainings in the summer. So for the workshop trainings, we do discuss topics on like identity, leadership, healthy relationships. And after the workshop trainings, our youth kind of focus on community action projects that are led by them. We also do presentations for other youth groups, and these presentations are primarily on healthy and unhealthy relationships. Those presentations are oftentimes youth-led, and unless it's during school times, then I'll present. But during the summer, we also go to Hacienda La Paz, and Hacienda La Paz is a nonprofit organization, and then there we kind of learn about horses. We get to ride the horses, we groom the horses, we pick up after the horses, And it's a really fun experience. But besides that, it's kind of more to that. Through this learning about horses, we're able to build leadership, you know, learn about self-confidence, self-esteem. Oftentimes when we come in there with and we're really angry or we're mad or sad, the horses sense that. So we learn about controlling our emotions, and it's really a great program for, you know, our youth, for myself, and for the mentors that that go with us, and even some of the parents. So that's something we do in the summer. We also provide support groups for teen moms at two different schools, and we recently had our first overnight summer camp. And thanks to a grant that we got, we were able to take about 25 Latina girls to this camp at Girl Scouts for free. And the majority of these girls, it was a first-time experience, so it was great. So these are just some, you know, more or less some of the opportunities that we have for our youth. And again, it's our youth program is youth-led, so some of these programs might change or they might stay the same. It really depends, but currently these are some of the services that we offer our local youth.
Wonderful. Those sound like exciting programs. Yes, Lumari.
Yes, I just wanted just to add some context to everything that Nayeli has shared, just some historical context of how this youth program came to be. Nayeli shared some great examples of how we engage young people and develop the leadership of Latino youth in our communities. And so the program that Nayeli is talking about is our Fuerza Unida Amigos Youth Program, which started about 10 years ago. And basically the premise of it was to provide a space for Latino young people to come together to really learn about the importance of healthy relationships, self-esteem, and also to be able to develop their own personal leadership and community leadership. And so everything that Nayeli has highlighted continues to be founded in the work that we started doing 10 years ago, which is really about including the voices of Latino young people in our program development. So Nayeli had mentioned that, you know, young people lead these activities and that these activities change from time to time. And the reason why they change from time to time is because I guess at Esperanza we're very committed to ensuring that our program development and any initiatives that we undertake are really we're really engaging with young people and Latinas from the community in that process of development, so that those strategies and programs that we do develop are informed by their voices and are representative of the things that young people and Latinas want to see in programs that engage them.
Wonderful. Around how many young people are able to reach CASA for services or just to join the youth program?
So overall, based on my report, and I say my report because I'm getting this number just specifically from my report, since we've been so busy, I wasn't able to kind of see my supervisor's report. But based on my report, I know last year, because we heard what the community was telling us, we were able to kind of reach out to Carver, to Richfield, and Minneapolis. And that kind of gave us a total of 74 youth that went through our workshop trainings.
Wow.
And, you know, besides that, and these are youth ages 10 to 24, but the majority of the youth are ages 13 to 14, 13 or 14. And then the youth that we reached out through, you know, presentations, through our conference and through our camp and through other community events, I have 160, and those are separate from the 74
wow.
That went through our workshop trainings. And again, I'm just saying these are my numbers because I know that sometimes there's resource fairs that other staff go to and they're able to talk to youth and provide them with services. My supervisor actually went to and did a presentation for about 100 youth. I forgot what state it was, but and that's in a different report. But these are the services that my youth and I, you know, provided services for. And from the family advocacy, we have 430 children being impacted through our family advocacy. portion. But these are just children, so I can't tell you based on their numbers because I don't really know how to kind of the report. These are children, so it's, you know, it can be babies till 18 years old. But we do impact a lot of youth, and because we've been out in the community, we've seen youth come to our program for a short-term or long-term periods of time. So it's kind of been nice to see how much impact we've had just kind of being out there in the community and going to the community instead of expecting the community to kind of come to us. But, yeah.
So Nayeli, you mentioned, and I mentioned also, that you were part of the youth program yourself growing up. Can you tell us about your experience, what you learned, what were the highlights, you know, while you were participating in the program?
Yeah, definitely. So I kind of, in high school, I was kind of forced into a summer program. and the summer program, actually, I got accepted to. But their programming was really to place the youth that that were involved into with a different organization. And they actually ended up placing me at Casa de Esperanza. So they gave me the contact information, and I was supposed to reach out to them. And honestly, I was a little scared to call. It actually took me a couple of days to call Umari. But my expectation there was that I was going to go in, I was just going to state my name, kind of tell them my age and what school I went to. And for me, I was expecting like a group of like 20 or more youth. And I really felt like I was just going to go in there and kind of be like another number to them, added to their list. And they weren't going to really listen to me. I was just kind of observe, and then, you know, I was going to kind of fit in later on. But my experience there was a little different. As soon as I got there, Lumari did a great job of, like, having me introduce myself. And we did an activity where we actually got to know each other. And with that activity, I think that really broke the ice with me and some of the girls, and I got to, you know, relate to them, and I felt comfortable, and I really felt welcome. And that kind of, that's how it all, you know, started. But with that, I think going through this program, I really kind of understood more of, like, my beliefs. You know, I've always done good in school, and I've had great teachers that kind of made it an expectation to go to college. But it wasn't until I came to this youth program when I actually started reflecting on why it was important for me to go to college, like why I wanted to go and what that really meant for me and what were my dreams. So for here, I was really able to reflect on that. And it really gave me a sense of awareness of myself. I think going through the presentations and the workshops with Lumari, talking about identity, relationships, you know, sexual assault, domestic violence, it really helped me kind of see and understand why things happened the way that they did in my life, you know, positively or negatively. And I think it gave me a sense of healing by learning about some of these healthy relationships or, you know, about my personal identity. And it was really a place where I felt respected. I saw somebody that looked like me, and she listened to me, and I learned a lot. And I think overall it just helped me value myself more as a person, and it really helped me see the leader within me, because oftentimes we're told that leaders are, you know, Obama, Martin Luther King Jr., but nobody really tells you, you know, that everybody is a leader, but we're just, you know, different leaders in different ways. So I think it was a great experience, and I honestly think that's why I came back as a mentor during my college years.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. And you mentioned, and we hear every day, well, we work with the Latino community, and as Latinos ourselves, we are facing so many challenges. But could you guys tell us or tell our listeners some of the challenges that are specific to our Latino youth when they're trying to seek or, you know, access support and services from organizations like, you know, like ours that work with domestic violence, sexual assault?
I can speak on some of the challenges that I see from my youth. I mean, and some challenges for overall just support or services is Obviously, language barriers, transportation. At least for youth coming to my group, often youth and parents don't really know about the programs that are out there. And if they do, sometimes they don't fully understand how that youth will benefit from that program. What we also see is that some organizations, I can't say all, but some organizations recruit from the same places. They're constantly recruiting from the same schools, the same location, the same teachers. So they're getting the students from the same place. So that kind of leaves out a whole bunch of other youth that don't know about the services that are out there. But that's kind of overall what I see with some of the youth. I don't know if Lumadi wants to kind of expand on challenges that she saw too.
Sure, thank you. I think one of the things that I saw quite a bit as a youth practitioner doing the work was that when we're talking about dating violence and healthy relationships and sexual assault, oftentimes the young people that we were working with just didn't have the vocabulary to identify what these issues were. So being able to seek services around issues of dating violence, for example, were often challenging just because they weren't aware that what they were experiencing had a name, mm-hmm. that what they were experiencing was something actually unhealthy. And we actually saw that quite a bit of that work when we first started doing our work with our Latina team moms at the schools, where we had young parenting mothers who were actually involved in dating and domestic violence-related situations, where they weren't aware that's what was happening to them. So I think one of the biggest barriers that we found was that, is that young people didn't have that information to connect to. For many years, we had conversations with Latinos in the Twin Cities about actually defining what teen dating violence meant to them. And what we learned was astonishing, because oftentimes young people didn't relate to the term. Latino young people didn't relate. When we asked them about, it was a very simple activity, basically putting the words teen dating and violence on three separate flip charts. When we asked them to identify what it meant to be a teen, what we found both among young women and young men was that they didn't identify as teenagers, right? Young Latinas were identifying themselves as mujeres, as women, many of them over the age of 15. Because culturally, with the quinceañeras, it's a rite of passage where a young girl goes to becoming a woman, on the day of her 15th birthday. And so many young women were saying, pero Lumadi, we're not girls, we're women. I'm over 15. So they didn't relate to that term, teen.
Exactly.
When we talked to young men, what we heard was, Lumadi, I'm the head of my household, for example. My father is absent, or my father is unavailable, and therefore I've had to step up and play the role of the man of the home. I look after my family. I look after my sisters and my mother. I'm the one who goes out there to the streets every day, and I'm the one who, once I walk out my door, I'm not a boy. I'm a man, and I have to act as a man with adult men-like responsibilities. When we talked about dating, it was something that was almost foreign to young people when we had these conversations maybe about 6 years ago, because the term itself wasn't something that resonated for them. When they talked about dating, they thought about, older folks who were dating and getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
For them at those times, and still to this day, it holds true in some situations where young people enter dating relationships very quickly, and they end up being boyfriend and girlfriend, or girlfriend and girlfriend, boyfriend and boyfriend very quickly, and don't have that time to really get to know each other. And then we also found situations where young people were simply just hooking up with each other, where there was no relationship outside of a sexual relationship. So again, that term dating didn't relate very much, wasn't something that they were able to easily relate to. And then when we talked about violence, the same thing. When we talked about violence, we expected to hear things, young people describe components, tactics, behaviors that we see in dating and domestic violence situations. But what we heard from young people were more along the lines of violence relates to the gang violence, the community violence that's happening outside of my home. things that are happening outside in the world, not necessarily in my relationship. So I think what we've learned over the years is that, you know, not having that language, not really understanding what dating violence and domestic violence is, does get in the way of young people being able to seek services. And then we also found situations where young people who actually were able to identify being in those types of situations, being fearful of seeking services, simply because maybe they're living in a home where their parents might be undocumented, and they run the risk of either outing their family or being unsure of how systems are going to treat and interact with their families, how legal mm-hmm. systems are going to interact. You know, oftentimes, too, young people find themselves in situations where, for example, at a school, you have mandated reporters. And mandated reporters, once you disclose to them, it's their duty to automatically make a phone call to Child Protection Services or whoever else they need to call. At Casa Esperanza, we're also mandated reporters, but we handle that in a different way. Once a young person discloses to us, you know, we take an opportunity to have a conversation with that young person to develop a plan on how we're going to approach the situation going forward. Here's what we need to do. Here's who we need to involve. You know, is this a call that you want to make with our support? Because we really want to take into consideration that young person's entire totality, everything about them, their whole axis, to ensure that we're able to provide the best services possible to that young person and their family. And I think those are some of the key additional challenges that we've been able to identify through our youth work at CASA.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Just,
so interesting. Thank you so much.
Just to kind of add on to that, I mean, through the presentations that I do with my youth, you know, not just what Lumari said, but we've also learned that, you know, our youth do know the different types of abuse. So they're able to tell you what, you know, physical abuse is. They're able to tell you what emotional abuse is and the different forms of abuse. But it really comes down to understanding what that looks like and how that is kind of portraying into their lives. They're really not able to tell you that. So I have a youth who actually had a friend, and it's a guy friend, and who had a girlfriend, and he stopped talking to her. And it was because the girlfriend had stated to him that because she was a girl, they couldn't be friends. So he stopped talking to one of my youth. And so for her to understand that and how unhealthy that relationship can be because of that, you know, how it can start off, it was really hard for her to understand that. So, I mean, that's something that we're facing with our youth now, is kind of to make them and help them fully understand what these abuses are. Instead of just telling them this is physical, this is emotional, but really helping them understand is something that we're working with our youth currently, and we hope to do that at the conference. But, yeah, I just wanted to add to that.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Nayeli. Lumari, in you guys mentioned a lot of cultural factors, but for those people that are in charge of designing programs, what do they need to consider in order to develop culturally appropriate programs for youth, for Latino youth?
The number one thing that I would recommend, Yvonne, is that folks really engage the young people who are going to be impacted by those programs. You know, I think oftentimes we sit in our offices very well-intentioned and develop programs that we feel are going to benefit young people, or we feel that they are what young people want. And I think the most critical piece is that when you're having those thoughts about developing strategies and programs, that as early as possible in that process, that you really do make spaces at the table for young people to be able to help inform and shape those programs that target them. We've done this time and time again with our work at Casa Esperanza. When I first came to Casa 10 years ago, I came to develop a youth peer education program. And it was a youth peer education program that was being developed for both young women and young men. I developed some of that program with an intern, and then I went out to the community to try to implement the program. And I ended up working with a group of young women from Harding High School in St. Paul's, seven Latinas, young, Latina young women that I worked with, who showed up to the first informational meeting. And I ended up having, actually working with them for a course of over a year. So I worked with them for the course of the year. At the end of that year, I had a listening session conversation with them to kind of evaluate the program and to get their thoughts and ideas on what they felt about the program and how things had gone. And it was really neat to see how these young women were very vocal and very, very willing to share what it was that they felt worked and didn't work. And for this particular group, one of the things that they shared with us was that, you know, they really enjoyed the fact that this group was specifically for Latina young women at that time. It provided a space, an opportunity for them to come together, build relationships, be able to learn, be able to share information that they feel they wouldn't have been able to share in a mixed group if there were young men involved in the project. They loved that they had an opportunity to build their leadership and to impact other young people, other young Latinos in the community. So we took that information, utilized it, enhanced our programming, and we did our programming that way for about 3 or 4 years. A couple of years ago, when Nayeli came on board, you know, we heard young women say, "Where are the boys at?" Because we're not in these dating, no, really, we're not in these dating violence relationships by ourselves.
Definitely.
And we were like, "Good point. Where are the boys?"
Good point.
So we brought the young men on board to work together with the young women. And they're the ones, the young people are the ones who inform the development of programs. They're the ones who inform the enhancements. They're the ones who at some point say to you, as I've had happen many times as a youth practitioner, where it's like, "Okay, Lumari, you can drive us to the workshops, but you can sit down and just be quiet because this is our work. This is our program, and this is for us."
Yes.
You know, and I think we need to be able to be open to that. I think oftentimes, you know, as adults doing this work, as adults with degrees and experiences doing this work, we tend to forget the value that young people add to this work. We tend to forget the expertise that young people bring to this work. And we need to be mindful of that, and we need to make those spaces at the table available for those conversations to happen. And so I would say that if anything else, what the core component for being able to develop programs and strategies that impact young people is to bring young people to the table, to value their expertise, to value who they are as individuals. They're the ones who are in touch with what's happening in their lives on a daily basis. They're the ones who know and who will tell you how they want to engage with you. We don't need to make those assumptions anymore. It's very clear that we need to be able to make spaces and provide those opportunities for young people to become engaged and to actually take leadership of the work, very similar to what Nayeli's done. Nayeli came in as a youth peer educator. She came back as an intern, and now she's actually running programs that she was once a part of. And I remember very clearly one day, and I was thinking about this last night, there was one point where Nayeli has said to me, "I want your job." Right? And I had said to her, "Well, you can have it. I'll stay here." And I said to her, "I'll stay here till you come and get it." And when Nayeli actually came to be an intern and came to do this work, for me it was time to say, "Okay, Nayeli has come back. So it's time to like pass the baton to her."
Exactly.
And
Incredible.
It totally came full circle. And again, it's because we're very intentional about engaging community in everything that we do, ensuring that their voices are heard, ensuring that their voices are represented, and providing those opportunities to ensure that community members are able to take leadership in the programs and strategies that impact them, because these programs are for them and by them. We're simply a conduit to help make those things happen for our Latino communities.
Yeah, Nayeli and Lumari, I'm sorry, we're running out of time. I would love for us to be able to spend the whole afternoon. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you to all our listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.